So here we are on April the 28th, 2013, here to Receive Christ on this special. And I would invite anyone who would like to make comments or ask for a blessing to follow the prompts to come in onto our switchboard here. The way you do that is you enter star 6 on your telephone, wait for the prompt, and then press 1. And it will take you right into the monitor where I can see your number and welcome you to speak. We'd love to hear from you today and hope that you can come on. We do have a caller now from area code 403. Sometimes names come up on our monitor and sometimes not, so don't be offended if I don't call your name. I can't always see it, but you're on area code 403.
Good afternoon, Glenda. My name is Karen Rogers, and I wasn't working this properly last week to get a question asked. So first of all, I'd like to say hello to everybody and say what a pleasure it is to be here.
Oh, hello to you. And yeah, it's a privilege to have you.
Thank you. The question I have to ask really belies how profound Yeshua and your books have been. I've been a healer for many years, and all I can say from my heart is that it really opened up my heart, and it's been very emotional. So thank you very much for your work.
Oh, you're so very welcome.
Thank you. You're very gracious. The question I have to ask is that it was about 3 weeks ago. We live in the mountains, and the ravens we have here are ginormous. And my husband said, he says, there's two ravens fighting across the street. And I was in my dressing gown, I looked out the window, and I saw these two mammoth ravens, and one was pinned on its back, and the other one had its claws over its claws. And I know ravens are highly intelligent, and it was clear, at least to me, that this dominant raven was calling for the rest of the clan to come. And my husband, he went to find a camera, and I went downstairs, and I said, I have to stop this. And I went out, my husband screamed from the patio, leave them alone. And my being knew that these were wild animals doing what they had to do, but there was something within me that was stirred and couldn't accept that one raven was in risking it, you know, its life was in danger. And they ignored me till I got quite close, and I realized these are really big birds. And then the one pinned down was able to get away. So my question is, at least for me, the acceptance of what is happening in the moment is an ongoing thing. And I don't know what the highest path would have been for my actions, seeing that, to honor that this was the wild, this was the natural order of things, and to let it be, or because it was on my street, I ran out and tried to stop it. Now, it may sound like a silly question, but it's one that I really would appreciate somebody else's perspective on it, please.
Well, I think that responding to one's heart is never a silly response. We always have to use a bit of discernment about how far we can intrude in the events of other creatures or other people or other life situations. As much as we would like to control the weather, we have to ask ourselves, how much do we really know about these gigantic forces that have literally created and shaped our planet and control the seasons and assist our Mother Earth in keeping herself balanced and rebalanced? There's a certain place in the wild kingdom where these forces just really do not need to be interrupted. But that doesn't mean that we cannot cast upon these events the energies of our heart. For example, Yeshua told me that I could calm a storm with the energies of my heart. And I said, well, what if the storm needs to exist? And he said, it will do its work as God ordains, but it will do it with less destruction than otherwise momentum might be carrying it into. So now what you witnessed, I would surmise, not being there, I can't say exactly, but these were it was probably some challenge over territory or a possible mate with a fight between two would-be dominant males.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you intercepted that just enough that it broke up after the initial conquest was completed and didn't go its full course into life destruction. And so the fact that you were there, the fact that you were present, the fact that you contributed energy to, from your heart, most definitely made a positive interception. On the other hand, it might not have been your total authority to determine the complete outcome of that event.
Yeah, there was no clean answer to it. My husband said,
there isn't.
He said, you postponed what's going to happen. And I said, well, that's okay, but I cannot be privy to it, see it, and then stand by and do nothing. I really like the response you've given me, Glenda, because with my personality, it's often we want clean answers, and sometimes it's just not there. So I'm going to go with your advice, and if I feel my heart, and as you know, that the million-dollar question is it ego control? Or I'm going to just say, no, it's the heart. I'll walk away with that one.
Okay. Well, that's not always such a clean answer either way, my dear.
Yes, it's not.
You know, because we want to put our best intentions forward. And our best intentions originally were cultivated by the heart, but sometimes they have been applied to ego stances that we take in the world. And so sometimes it's not that easy to dust ourselves off. I think we have to play everything by moment-to-moment discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Have a sense for when to let go, when to approach, and then when to move into neutral. You know, this car we drive has several gears to it. And we need to be masterful. We need to be able to be mobile within the drive, reverse, neutral, or how fast do we move backwards, how fast do we move forward. You need to really drive the vehicle of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
I guess that's the best I can give on that particular subject.
I think it's pretty darn good, Glenda, seriously, because this has sat with me. And, you know, it can spread over to interacting with other people and what
yeah.
their intentions and you become from the highest place. And I think the Raven was a very graphic one for me.
Exactly, and sometimes deflecting a moment of destruction can give love a chance to step in and the universe a chance to reorganize itself to a better end.
That's very good. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Sharon. I see you're on the call on our board. And how are you today?
I am very well, Glenda. How are you?
Terrific.
Great. I wanted to just make a comment. I was watching the Jesus miniseries with Jeremy Sisto, and what a moving movie. I mean, I remember the very first blessing call, and we were watching certain scenes, and, you know, there's just so many things about it that bring about love, and I was watching it with my boyfriend, and he says, you know, it doesn't compare to the Mel Gibson one. He says, there was so much agony and so much pain. And I says, well, that's not what this was about. This was about Yeshua and his love, and that's what he was trying to come across. But it's funny that you mention, you know, the stormy waters, because the one thing that really got me looking as, you know, my aha moment was, you know, he's standing there, and they're in the storm. And I'm looking at the storm, and they're like, they're going to say, I'm going to die. We're going to die. And he's standing there, and one of the disciples gets out, and he, at first, he has the faith. He's walking on the water, and then he starts to sink, and he's like, save me, Jesus, save me. And he says, you have little faith. And I thought, you know what, that's how I'm looking at what's going on in the world right now, is that there is all of this chaos and this storm all around us. And he says, you know, he was preaching to the poor, and he says, you know, the rich can have, you know, they can't have everything, but, you know, if you can go within to the kingdom of heaven, you can have it all. And I really, really resonated with that peace and that love. And no matter what's going on the outside, as long as you keep yourself in that love, in that place of peace, that's the most important thing of all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your relationship with God is the most important thing of all. And second only to that is the personal relationship we have with our fellow citizens passing through life. And when I was first called to paint Yeshua, those of you who've read the story probably know I had a little bit of resistance on the idea, because there had been so many, many paintings done of him by great artists, paintings that filled great museums and the Vatican. And I thought, why do we need another one? Don't we have enough? Don't we need a more intimate relationship with him? And then I finally surrendered for other reasons that came to bear on me, and found the process to be a totally exalting experience. But inside the experience, I asked him, I said, why? Why? And he said, people have forgotten who I really am. They've been thinking that I am the doctrine they conform their lives to, that I am the doctrine that's preached, that I am the law, that I am a contrived and formal entity called a denomination. And he looked at me with eyes that were so full of light and yet almost weeping. He said, no less than you, I am me. I am who I am. And it's by my love that I brought everything to this earth. Only those who took my words and turned them into doctrine have built the limiting structures that have been substituted for me. I would like to be known again. And he said, that's why I ask for a painting. And I realized then that almost every painting that had ever been done of him was to illustrate some part of the doctrine, some story, some station of the cross, because actually the great age of Christian art was at a time when most people were illiterate. They either couldn't read the Bible or didn't have one available. Before the printing press, they simply weren't available to anyone except the church and the most elite. And so they relied upon sculpture and painting to tell the stories of the Bible, and in that process they were telling about the points of doctrine. Not entirely and innocently conveying the person. And whether it's the lamb and the lion or the portrait of Yeshua or everything else that he's called me to do, that is the one common denominator that I have found to be unique and consistent to my calling, is just to respond to his words, his request of me, to walk with me, know me, and invite others to walk with me. And it's really about as simple as that, Sharon.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to just thank you so much, Glenda, for listening to your heart. And, you know, in the part of the movie where he's picking his disciples. When you picked me, I felt just as elated as they did. And it's been such a wonderful and very glorious experience. And I want to share that with everyone, that anyone that's interested that wants to do this, you will never, ever look back and say, I regret it. You'll never do that. You'll always have that love in your heart.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. Now, for the rest of you who have not been to a blessing seminar, that's what Sharon's referring to. And we are in the process of looking at options for a blessing seminar outside Sedona sometime this summer. I have not been able to be extremely prompt about that because I needed to know that I was strong on my feet again before I make that commitment. And I'm just about there, and we're looking at options, we're looking at places, times, and possibilities. So your opportunity may be just around the corner, and we'll let you know as soon as we have some more information on that. And in the meantime, I am so grateful for all the blessing givers and for all the good work you do. We have a caller from area code 856. You're on.
Hi, this is Eva.
Hi, Eva.
I would like to ask for a special blessing again, this time again for my husband. He had another fall, which is not as bad as last time, and he seems to be recuperating quite well. Had a big bruise on his head and shoulder, and just no broken bones, but dislocated the clavicle.
Uh-huh.
I would appreciate prayers and blessings once again. But I also would like to say thank you so much again for doing what you're doing, because this time when my granddaughter came in and told me Pop fell off his bike again and was in the driveway lying there, I really was relatively calm, the calmest I have ever been in any of the situations when something has happened to him, and I just know that this is attributed to the blessings which I have been receiving and doing for myself and for him, and it's just wonderful to be able to live life from a more peaceful state of mind than where I was coming from before, which was so much fear and always not knowing what was happening next and fearing what might happen next. So
yes.
Thank you, and thank you for all the blessings.
Well, you know, Eva, thank you also. And let me ask, let me clarify one thing you said. You said she came in and said Pop had fallen off his bike?
Pop. My granddaughter said Pop turned over on his bike again. That's what had happened when he broke his hip. And now he's been out riding again. He was so happy to get back on his three-wheeler.
Eva, I'm shocked. I did not know. I'm thinking back to when Charlie was almost a complete invalid.
Oh, yeah, you didn't realize that the last time when he cracked his hip that it was falling off of a three-wheeler?
No, I didn't.
Happened. He last summer he was out riding sometimes an hour at a time. He loved it.
Oh, Eva, do you realize what a miracle that is?
Three-wheeler, and he would go around the block. And initially I was a little concerned because I think I'd have to watch him all the time. But then I said I can't be doing that all the time. I have to let him be who he is and what he wants to be. And he would ride, and that's what had happened when he fractured his hip. He was going around the house. They were putting a new roof on our house. And apparently hit a rough spot and went over on it and fell on his left hip. And that's when he again fell on the left side, but he has a steel ball in there now, so that's not going to crack, I don't believe. But he did hurt his shoulder and
cut. Well, we want to remember him in our blessings, but also in our gratitude.
Oh, yes.
I remember when Charlie couldn't talk.
Every time he pops, you know, he pops back, and I have been feeling really very confident about his wellness lately. It just feels as though he's going to be, I really held in my heart ever since he had the stroke that he's going to be truly well again someday. I didn't think it was going to take this long, but I know that I had a lot to learn in the process. Mm-hmm. And you know that from seeing us.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about that today, back in 2002 when we first met you. And, yes, yes. I, both of us were in pretty bad shape at that time. And much has happened. And I said I probably wouldn't have gotten the strength in any other way than having to go through what I've gone through. So.
Oh, Eva, I am so grateful for what you've been given, and extend my prayers on top of that gratitude.
Thank you.
And actually, that in itself is a really important message, because when we are grateful for what we've already been given, we attract more of the same. There's a law in the universe that like attracts like.
Yes. So, and I am truly grateful that I was concerned, because I had a function to go to the next day. My daughter stayed home on Friday and took him to the doctor and got the x-rays. I came home. Nobody was in the house. And then I began to almost panic. I thought, oh, no, I hope he's not in the hospital again. But then it just took a long time. She went from the doctor to the x-ray place, and took them quite a while to get all of that taken care of, and they wanted them to wait for the results. Finally, she said, I'm just going home. She says, he's tired. He's, like, really had it. So so she brought him home, and he was actually the next day he was out on the deck. He wanted to enjoy the beautiful weather, and so he's coming along. And I hope once again that it'll be each time it seems like he bounces back better than the time before. So
we give thanks, Eva, and thank you so much for sharing your story. Give our love to Charlie.
I believe that will happen as well.
Yes, I believe so too. Give our love to Charlie. And
thank you. I will.
Okay, and let's get ready for our blessing today. I want to. I just want to talk about the vulnerability that goes along with receiving from anyone. You know, it's easier to be a giver than a receiver, because a giver gets to select the time and place of giving. A giver gets to, and I'm not just referring to Christ's blessing, I'm talking about the giver of anything. Giving a chocolate cake to the neighbor next door. Giving to the local charity. Giving of your time and energy to help at the school. So when I talk about giving, I'm talking about the universal state of giving, which is a far more selective, ennobling, and causative way of being. And to be a receiver is, though it is gratifying and sometimes exciting, to have someone walk in the door with that luscious chocolate cake or whatever else we might be receiving, it's still a humbling experience. It's an experience that allows us to realize that we are part of a universe where everything is symbiotic. That is, it's all united in a common network. And one of the things we need to recover in receiving is the spirit of neediness. Neediness, ironically, actually repels. It repels the giver. Have you ever noticed that you're more likely to give to those organizations that appreciate and use your gift in a beneficial way? Versus the hungry mobs that might come upon you in other places, overwhelming you with their begging and neediness, that is a turnoff. We go sometimes to countries with very poor people, and we're surrounded by hands reaching for anything you wish to put in it, and you know that it's not even safe to open your wallet. Neediness repels the giver. Appreciation attracts the giver. Utilization attracts the giver. And now, why? Why do we act? Is it because the giver is repelled by neediness? Well, in the case of God, I would say certainly not. There is no gift greater than the generosity of our Creator. And yet, neediness even repels the gifts of God. Why? Why does this happen? It's very simple. Very simple if you think about it. Even God does not want to reinforce the spirit of neediness. Neediness may be a very real condition that has to be addressed, but it also can become a cultivated attitude that becomes an excuse for responsibility, that becomes a denial of gratitude, that becomes an entitlement without the pleasure and the honor of earning. And even God does not want to reinforce the attitude of neediness. God rewards the courageous, the patient, the long-suffering, the caring, those who love no matter what they don't have, those who have faith no matter what they don't have, because our Creator, more than anything else, wants to create in us a soul with nobility. And that soul with nobility is more important to God than satisfying one or two immediate needs. And so often, we forfeit our little opportunities to take care of our own needs in order to test God. We wait till we've got one penny left or one grain of tolerance remaining, and then we get down on our knees and pray. And we say, if you love me, God, you will give me this. And God says back, don't test me, my child. You must know that I love you no matter what. No matter what. In your faith, you are made whole. In your faith, you are nourished. You are completed. You are lifted up. Because above all else, I would have you be a noble person. I would have you live in your integrity, in your honor, in your truth as a child of my being. And so we've all experienced this, and it makes us uncertain and reluctant to open our vulnerability to receive. But I would like to remind you that today, right now, you have come to the altar of God in your heart, and you have come to receive. You've come to receive not because you're down to your desperate last option. You've come to receive because the nobility in your spirit is hungry. You wish to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the love of God, and the positive reinforcement that you, in fact, are a child of God, most worthy to receive. And it's with that spirit that we move into the openness of this blessing. I would like you to remove your shoes and socks. I'd like you to be seated with your head pointed upward, your feet on the ground. Be ready to receive from the earth and from the heavens. Suspend your mind for a while, because actually your mind is not an instrument of receiving. Ironically, it's an instrument of obtaining. It tries to figure out how to get and obtain without ever surrendering the ego to really truly receive. It is the heart that receives, not the mind. The mind wants to get. The mind wants to obtain or reach or strive, but not simply receive. That is a power given to the heart. And so be in your heart, rest peacefully and comfortably there, and be grateful for that which you have, and most especially for the nobility of the soul that has brought you to this moment. Begin your prayer, which will be for 3 minutes, as we, and I say we, meaning myself as an instrument, the combined instruments of any blessing givers that choose to join me, the earth, Yeshua in our heart, the Holy Spirit, and our Creator God. So you are part of a great matrix of love. No more alone, no more disconnected, but part of a great filament of love and blessing. Pray in whatever manner is comfortable and appropriate to you and the nobility of your soul. I will say my invocation to Yeshua, and then for 3 minutes we will conduct the energy. I will let you know when it's complete, and at that moment, then I want you to rest and just fall into the most peaceful, non-thinking rest available to you. Recline on a bed, preferably. You may be seated if that's the best you can do, but just reclining is better in this last and final stage of assimilation. So let us begin. Beloved Yeshua, Son of God, brother of mankind, friend to us all, the one who walks with us in our joy, in our trouble, in our certainty and our doubts, who keeps us in our heart where receiving is always possible, where we know that as we face any obstacle in life, there is always a way through it, a way around it, a way above it, a way to be nourished by it, or enhanced or made stronger because of it. Thank you for taking whatever is given to us and transforming it into the blessing of our soul. Thank you for giving us your wisdom, your companionship, your love, and your encouragement to continue and stay on the high ground as we seek to fulfill our union with God and our love for one another. Amen. You have been blessed. The energy of blessing has now been given. Go forth and rest and allow it to assimilate on all levels of your body, heart, soul, and being. Know that you are loved. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.